On this team, we fight, Fetich. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Matty C's Sports for you and me.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
All right, everybody. Matty C Sports for you and me. I got an OG in my show, Shameless Don Shanus. Yo, how are you doing this morning, brother?
Matty C, what's going on? I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I see a lion back there. I know there's some dinosaurs missing in the room, bro. I only saw one before.
I got here, I'll bust out my guy right here. You gotta hold on.
This guy is legendary for his dinosaur and exotic collections of animals.
God, I'm a dinosaur already.
Oh, that's the OG right there.
Yeah, that's my guy. I'll put him right over here. He's going to be out of frame. I got a few dinosaurs in the room.
Shout out to Don for giving my daughter some. So, bro, yeah. Back to the real business, bro. So you're back in New England, and, you know, I know it's a nice thing for you to be back here, but at the same time, I feel like this is fucking business right now. This isn't fun and play type of deal. Is that how you're feeling right now?
Well, it is business, but I'm looking just to have fun right now. You know, I think you there?
I am there, yep.
Okay, I lost you.
Losing me.
There we go. Yeah. So it's always business, but I think I need a right now is a big transition for me, and it's time for me to relearn how to have fun.
I got you. So, you know, I saw your last fight with Jack Jenkins, and man, I swear to God, man, when I saw you fight, I was like, God damn, he is like, you got Terminator legs, man. Like, I saw a thing in you that fight where I was like, God damn, like, that dude has indestructible knees. I'm sure it, like, I know you have pictures after, but I was like, damn, dude, like, your conditioning for those knees was crazy. So
the leg kicks kind of fucked me up, to be honest with you. Like, I want to say, like, it didn't stop me from doing anything in the fight, but what it really did do was, like, limit my range, my ability to press forward, just because I didn't have that explosiveness off my lead foot or move back. So it slowed me down just a little bit. And I want to say it took about an inch and a half off my range.
And I could see that, but you were still holding strong.
Oh, I'm a stubborn motherfucker, man. I'm just stubborn. I did not give a fuck. You know, I like to fight with a little bit of reckless abandonment. And I think that showed.
Yeah, and it seemed like you guys came cool after that, like after that fight.
Well, we were cool before the fight. We were cool after the fight. You know, he's a pretty solid dude. And, you know, it's not personal in there. It's just business. And it doesn't have to be personal. So, you know, he had the same energy before the fight. Super cool. Talked to him at weigh-ins, all that bullshit. Talked to him after the fight. Super cool. You know, so on and so forth. You know, we just both had a job to do, and we both wanted to get our hands raised. We're both competitors, so fuck it.
Yo, I mean, like, the way you seemed like, I know Cage Titans has had some really devastating news happen recently with Arthur Mopofu and things like that. And, you know, that I think Cage Titan 60 is going to be pretty emotional, and you know, to have you back, I feel like is a big thing for the MMA community in New England. And you know, how do you feel coming back, especially to Cage Titans, your first comeback event?
It's a little bit bittersweet, right? Now I got a taste of what the best of the best do, and I see what the best of the best do. I think a few little adjustments, you know, get this win on 2.5-3 weeks, fucking move forward another couple quick rounds of fights, and get right back in there.
And you're fighting Rob, so what do you know about this guy?
Literally nothing. I know he has a lot of experience. He's got 20-something pro fights. Not the best record, but he just fought for Combat FC at 55. Looked really good. He knocked his dude out in the third round. I know he's training up at Nostos with Devin Powell, which, dude, Devin Powell's a great coach with a fucking room full of silent killers, you know? It's up in Maine, so I don't think they get enough foot traffic right now. But, dude, I've been up there, and Devin Powell's good, and he has a good crew in there.
Yeah, and I mean, now the Maine guys are starting to come down here, you know, like the Evolution Athletics and, you know, all the guys up there. And then, you know, Cam Arnold, then the Connecticut guys have always been kind of coming up here. And, you know, they're starting to fight a lot more up here. And, you know, obviously the Massachusetts guy, you know, we got you, we got, you know, actually you have Lionel on the card too. Your teammate. So what do you think about Lionel on the main card against Jay Perrin? I was kind of shocked at that one, but I was shocked. I was kind of not shocked at the same time.
Oh man. I love my man Boogs. Boogs. I've seen him be a world killer, and I've seen him crumble. And when Lionel believes in Lionel and not Lionel believing in Boogs, like Lionel's got two people in him. I tell him this all the time. He's got Lionel and he's got Boogs. Boogs, we don't like Boogs. Boogs ain't good for Lionel. But when Lionel's Lionel, he's a fucking world killer.
And
when Lionel believes in Lionel, he fucking turns some heads and shakes things up really well.
And for you, I mean, you coming back, like, I know a lot of people are excited for you to come back, for sure. And it's been a little while, but, you know, bigger and better opportunities came. And, you know, what's it going to be like, you know, coming back to Cage Titans this time? Is there
like
something
I said, man, it's bittersweet. It's always good to come home, but I don't want to stay for too long. This is a fucking pit stop for me. My goal is to fucking get this win in a couple of weeks, reevaluate, see how my body's doing. And I want to fight often. I want to fight for belts, and I want to get back in the fucking UFC. Whether it be UFC, Bellator, 1FC, what do you call it? PFL. Dude, I don't – fighting these regional guys ain't cutting it for me. I want all the bright lights.
And, man, I definitely – you're one of those people that I see that is going to be on a constant – pace to, you know, TV professional level type of deal, like you said, PFL, all that stuff, and Bellator. You're well known for Bellator as well too. So I mean, are you kind of like belt hunting pretty much? Are you going CES, combat here, Cage Titans? Like, are you just literally coming on a rampage to just take all those belts and get right back in right away?
Look, this fight's about me getting in there, getting a win, getting my hand raised, having fun again. And then it's fucking yes. That's exactly what I'm going to fucking do. Because I'll tell you what, all these other belts got my name on it. I'm fucking coming. I'm going to beat every fucking guy slated for the Contender Series. Every guy fucking ready for a short notice fight. I'm going to beat them all. And then I'm going to take their spot. And then when the UFC comes calling again, ready for that short notice fight, they already know I can make weight. Die making weight. Fucking, I'm going to get that call again.
I don't expect anything less from you, Don. Everything you do, you always give your word, and you're very confident. And I've seen you in post-fight interviews that's like, what's up? Who wants it now? What's up? What's up? Okay, who wants it? So is there anybody in particular you want to take a jab at? Or is it like, I don't give a fuck. Send somebody in front of me and I'll fuck them up right now.
No, it's not like that. It's I got business to take care of on the 22nd, and then I'll figure it the fuck out. Right? I'm not making any call outs beforehand. I like don't get me wrong. This is a big step down in competition, but it's still a dangerous fight. Every fight's a dangerous fight. And what my job is to get in there and get out of there and do exactly what I'm supposed to do to a guy like Rob. So that being said, it's like I can't focus on 15 fucking different things at once. I'm gonna hyper focus on this fight and then back to fucking snatching belts, beating contenders, and guys on that short list.
I hear you. I hear you. So are you, so with, I know you got a good relationship with, Coach Eric at Citadel, and, you know, he's been a part of your fights a lot, and I respect the hell out of the guy, and I'm jealous of his house because he looks like he's in the Scarface mansion, bro.
I've
So
never been up there. I call him E. He's have you seen Entourage?
yes.
Well, fucking, I got a Dontourage and he's my E.
Oh, got you. So
Yeah.
he's part of that
I
whole
call him
thing.
E. Yeah. He's the man, man. I'm really lucky to have met him. I met him at a point in my life. It was a very big transitional point in my life where I was like, I don't want to do college. I need to stop doing this, this, and this. And when I didn't deserve a coach, he kind of like came into my life right when I was like getting out of a life I didn't want to live. And yeah, man, he's been very good to me. He's always steered me in the right direction, you know. We may or may not have made some questionable calls of along the way. They always seem to work out. But he's the man.
When I talked to him, it was just before Lionel's fight with Tom Pags, and I was talking with him and Lionel, and the funny thing was, he's like, you know, you interview all my fighters, but you can't fucking interview with me. I was like, bro, I would love to interview with you, man. Like, I just thought you were a silent guy like Xavi was, man. Like,
Nah, he'll talk shit to you all day. He'll join your podcast and just talk shit to you and make fun of you the whole time.
that's totally fine with me. And you know, do you like look out for your other teammates too? You know, Jadawford just won a big one, got his title back. You know, Emily Crown's fighting still. Megan Bosco is still, I think she's still got a title somewhere. But you know, all your teammates are doing well right now. You know, and you come back, I think you're boosting the motivation in that gym, you know, so.
Look, man, the gym is going to be the gym regardless of me, right? So the way I look at it is everyone's responsible for their own motivation. Like, I'll tell you right now, I don't want to go do an hour of cardio today. I'm responsible for an hour of cardio today because the results of not doing it is I'm gonna have a harder time making weight. I'm gonna like it breaks down to the individual. Like, I don't want to do all this fucking training I'm doing. I don't want to lose this weight, but I'm fucking gonna. You know what I mean? Like, motivation is kind of bullshit, if you ask me. Like, there's things that are required, and then there's things that are optional. And right now, there's nothing optional. And if you want to make it to the best level, the amongst the greats, you got to fucking do the things that are optional, as if they're not optional. They're non-negotiable. You have to fucking do the shit. And what they're doing in there, it's a very small gym. Everyone works their fucking ass off.
Yeah, I call it the Rocky III gym because it's like right in the basement, just a
Yeah, you
small
been
little
there?
gym. I have been there. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I did he wanted me to go on the Lionel wanted me to go on the mat. I was like, fuck you, dude. I ain't going on no mat. I ain't
Ever
going
trained
in.
before?
I have not.
No, why not?
I don't know. So I've been offered train boxing, train MMA. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like that
You already
it would
got
be.
such a love and appreciation for it already. Like, why not get in there with very low risk and like see what everyone's doing and feel what everyone's feeling? You know,
All right,
one class would fucking change your perspective big time.
how long are you gonna be in Massachusetts after the 22nd?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh.
Good question. I have no
I
fucking
want.
idea. I think I'm in the process of moving. My game plan is to win this fight, move to Vegas, train out there. The training out there is different. The structure is very different. It's tailored more towards me. I need more bodies around my weight, that are more skilled, and it's very difficult to do in New England because all the talent's spread out. But in Vegas, it's the fucking hub of all fighting, right? Like, everyone that's good either goes to Vegas to train, lives in Vegas and trains, or fights in Vegas. So you constantly got new talent coming in. So these big gyms like Syndicate and Extreme are fucking packed with talent. I just spent 5 or 6 weeks out at Syndicate. It was fucking awesome. John Wood took good care of me out there. And the Shapiro bros taught me so much shit on the ground. I really liked it out there. They had a ton of bodies, focused, hard-driven individuals. So, you know, when it comes to New England, it's very difficult because, yes, you have talent here. The issue is you got fucking these stubborn motherfuckers that don't want to train together because they might fight each other, that fucking everyone's on a different fucking schedule. You have talent, but it's all spread out. You can't go to one gym anymore and have 50 fucking pros on the mat every single day.
And that's true what you say, Don, is, you know, I talked to Mike Rodriguez a long while back, and he was talking about the same thing. Like, you know, like, as New England as a whole, we need to come together, and we need, like, we may fight you, we may not, but like, we train together and we'll take over the United States, the world type of deal. So like, that kind of resonated on me as to, you know, maybe he's right. Like, you know, we don't have to have beef with each other everywhere. But at some point, there is some beefs here a little bit, but there shouldn't be.
Well, I think that a lot of the gyms now are the ones tailored to fighters are pumping out good guys. I haven't found a structure that in New England that works for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even Citadel, you know, I love Citadel. Eric has been super good to me. The structure, him and I have had conversations about the structure of the classes because, yes, we got to keep the doors open. Rent's fucking way too expensive, especially in Boston. So we got to have these new people coming in, paying rent, not paying rent, but like paying for their membership.
Supporting, but
when I'm trying to hyper-focus, I only have so much attention to hyper-focus in a day. I know personally I need an hour and a half for drilling. I need half an hour of live, and then I'm done for the day. I've mentally checked out. Until my next session. So it's like, I could do that twice a day. The issue is when you're driving fucking an hour and a half, 2 hours of traffic into Boston to hyper-focus for an hour, hour and a half, it's sometimes very difficult when you have more mixed levels in classes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a lot to come into Boston and come back and then have to do it
again.
It's
a fucking pain in the ass, man. When I was out in Vegas, it took me 5 minutes to get to the gym. I was in the UFC, so I was taking advantage of the PI. It took me 5 minutes to get to the PI, and I had a pretty sweet setup out there. So I was training at Syndicate. I was going to the PI every day, and like, I'd wake up at 7. I'd be at the PI at 8. I'd have breakfast. I'd fucking work out. I'd do my sauna, my sauna, my cold plunge, fucking shower up, go over to Syndicate for 11:30. 11:30 to 1, I'd be training, fucking shoot back to the PI, eat lunch. Because they close lunch down at 2. And then from there, what I would do is I'd have strength and conditioning. So I'd hang out for an hour, fucking just hang out outside. It's fucking 100 degrees. It's beautiful. And it's dry heat, too. So you're not fucking sweating like it's muggy out today, you know? So then I'd have strength and conditioning at 3. And this was every day, 3 to 4. And then maybe I had a massage. So like from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., that was full time for me. It was fucking awesome. Here, you know, I wake up, I go do my cardio. Okay, that I can control. And then I go eat, I have lunch, chill. Then I gotta leave my house at 4 to get to the gym for 6 just to be safe. You know, that's a fucking pain in the ass. Yeah. So it's like, if you're thinking about like hyper-focusing, I just spent 2 hours in a car ride. I don't know how much mental energy that drains from you. But then, all right, cool, I hyper-focus. The structure of classes is a little bit different. They're more tailored an hour long. You got guys coming in and out, different skill levels, which is fine. I totally understand it and why it has to work that way, right? But then I got a 45 hour and a half drive back, depending on traffic and bullshit. It's like, I've just seen that there's far more efficient ways to get things done.
Exactly. And I was just going to say to you, I mean, the difference between Vegas and here, like, you have multiple resources that you have more of how do I say it? Like more of a structured schedule, and you have more resources like a sauna and this and that and the third, where here you're sort of, it kind of is cut a little bit. Like, you know, you're driving an hour and a half, or, you know, driving an hour and a half back. But like, you know, is it frustrating that you don't have that plentiful amount of resources here as you do there?
Like, well, it's, you know, not that I don't have the resources. It's just spread out, right? For example, you know, Citadel, we do our sparring on Friday nights. If I want to go to Lozon's, they do their sparring on Saturday mornings. Now, that's back-to-back. Citadel, we do fucking an hour and a half of rounds on Fridays. Lozon's is an hour and a half of rounds. You know, you can't do those type of rounds back-to-back. You know what I mean? Like, you could go live every day, but there's different levels of going live. Like, I'm not getting into a fist fight for 8 to 12 rounds on a Friday night, then getting into another fist fight for another 8 to 12 rounds on a Saturday. It's almost like I got to pick and choose. And depending on the day and who's in and what I've coordinated, you know, some days Citadel might be better. You know, I got these guys working on these things, and then some days Lozon's might be better. And let's say on Mondays they got open mats at BTT. I've been going to open mats on BTT. Maybe fucking open mats are better for my Monday rolls. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like fucking juggling what gym, who's in where, what the fuck's going on. If there was just one gym that everyone talented went to that wasn't geared, like, yes, every gym has to profit, but wasn't geared, or at least had a dedicated time of an hour and a half, 2 hours to getting in, getting the work in, getting to the next level, moving forward, where everyone came together, it would make more sense for me. But right now, it's like I'm fucking playing. What's up?
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, I hear like different fighters' stories and way they do things. They come from Boston, then they go to Rockland, then they go to Lozon, or they go to Citadel, or like for you, like it's Citadel, Lozon, or what it may be, you know, the basement, like, and then Valdina, up Drake it, down back here, over to the basement, over at Lozon's. Like, you guys are fucking crazy in its own. You guys are driving a lot and you're training at the same time. So it's like, goddamn, like, I don't understand how it, like, that's what I love about MMA, when you see it from both a fan side and like from where I am, where you get to talk, physically talk to you guys, like, shit, these guys do a lot of shit than just fucking jump into the cage and, oh, okay, there they go. It's not that type of
thing. Everyone works their ass off. The difference is efficiency, right? And that 2 hour drive it takes me to go to Boston, I could have worked out.
True.
You know, like, I was living in the Midwest for the last couple of years and I was training out there. And the one thing I noticed was everything was super efficient, right? I lived 5 minutes from the gym. I lived in a fight house. It wasn't anything nice. It had the basic necessities. It had a toilet, a kitchen, a living room, a couple sofas, fucking TV. I had my bedroom and I had my roommates. Right? It had a washer and dryer too. Okay? It was 5 minutes from the gym. It was 5 minutes from the grocery store. Rent was wicked fucking cheap. Wicked cheap. Right? I picked up a bartending gig out there. And one weekend I made enough to pay fucking 2 months of rent. You know? And so rent was so fucking cheap out there. So it's like, for 1/10 of what I paid out here, right, just to live and get around. Yep. It's like, I filled up my gas tank once a month. The gym was a mile from my house. A mile. Shit. I could run there. Okay. Not only that, the conventional gym where I did all my extra cardio and bullshit was a mile from that gym. It was 2 miles. Right. So within a 7-minute bubble, I got to everywhere I needed to go within that town, whether it be fucking, with the exception of fucking Costco, where I'd stock up on toilet paper and fucking paper towel and like my proteins, right? So it's like, with the exception of Costco, I had a grocery store, a gym, another gym. Well, what else do you need? And some fucking awesome people that were all focused on the same goal that I had. I was surrounded by 50 fucking pros every day. It was fucking unbelievable. And that was just super efficient, and it worked very well for me. Now, everyone has a different lifestyle. You know, they might be juggling kids, all this other stuff that you face in life. But it is, as far as what I found benefited me, it was the efficiency. Now, if I lived above Citadel, that would make so much sense. Hey, just go downstairs.
Do it up, man. Take that exactly. Yoga space away.
Yeah, yeah. But do you see what I'm saying? So
yeah, exactly. And you lived a lot. See, in the South, like you said, it's a lot better and more affordable to live down South. Like, I got friends in Louisiana. Like, they save a lot more because the cost of living is much better.
And they also make a lot less, though.
They do, but it depends on you. Well, like here too, it depends on your job and all that stuff. But and it's funny that you said that. I was waiting for you to say it. I forgot. I thought you were gonna say the wood panel walls that you had too. I thought you were gonna add that in there.
Panel wall. I did have wood panel walls. Yeah, the house I lived in was pretty fucking beat up, but you know what? It was exactly what I needed at that point in my life. Like, I didn't need anything nice or special. I didn't need fucking modern anything. We had a couple of sofas. We had a kitchen. And we had one bathroom with a shower that leaked. You know what I mean? Like, we had a washer and dryer. And we each had our own. We had our shared space and we had our personal space.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I needed. To be 5 minutes in the gym and have a little bit of personal space and those basic things.
So tell me how dope it was to live in Vegas and like all the UFC like amenities. How was it with that type of deal there?
Oh shit, man! I was actually at the PI when I got cut. I was pissed. I just finished my workout at Syndicate. I went over to the PI. I finished my strength and conditioning for the day, and I'm just hanging out in the sauna, about to jump in the cold plunge. I get a text. I'm like, from my manager, he's like, hey, the UFC said they had a release. So I'm like, bro, I'm at the PI right now. Do I have to leave this fucking second? And he's like, no, but I'm like, motherfucker. So it was sick. Like, if you're in the UFC and you're not living in Vegas, you're probably doing yourself a little bit of a disservice. Obviously, everyone's got their homes and their teams, and like, there's other places in the world that that can make you great, you know, and maybe the best in the world in your own way. But like, the advantage of being in the UFC while in Vegas, it's like, all right, you got the PI. That means you got free nutritionists any day you want. You got mental health coaches there. And me and the mental health coach out there really clicked. He was super cool, dude. He really cared. I actually saw him the day I got cut. And he sat down with me for like an hour after that. I've since talked to him. And he's super cool, dude. His name is Micah. But it's like, you got him. You got the nutritionists. You got the strength and conditioning people. You got your body work people, the guys that do the massages on you. And those are available for you almost every fucking day. Obviously, you got to schedule it. So it's like, hey, my body's a little beat up today. Do you have any availability for a little body work? It's like, all right, cool. We got an intern today from 2 to 3. It's like, all right, cool. But if you schedule more time, you get the non-interns and the people that actually work for the UFC. But then on top of it, it's like, you see, dude, I seen so many people in the fucking PI that I'm like, yo, I was like 18 watching you fight. Like, I remember seeing Uriah Faber at the PI. I met Kevin Holland out there, run into Sean Strickland. Like, all these – Sean Strickland fought what, last night, the night before? So I'm like,
yeah, running the night into before.
These people. Then being at the gym, it's like, oh, dude, I've seen you fight. Oh, I've seen you fight. Oh, I've seen you fight. I've seen you fight. They're like, dude, everyone's everywhere. And like, you're surrounded by these fucking minds that have made it to the pinnacle of the sport. And it's really interesting because – you realize, one, they're just people too, right? Just like you, you know? But yeah.
But who can say that? You know what I mean? Who can say they are around these people and they have the resources? Like I respect, like, when you said about a mental health coach, like, down there. Like, that's so good for, like, a fighter. Like, you know, I don't know how, like, you know, I don't know how a fighter particularly goes through, you know? Like, but it's good to have those resources out there for the UFC. And I'm glad you like got a good rapport with that person. Like, I respect that.
Yeah, it's funny too, because I literally had a meeting with him the day I got cut. And I'm like, dude, am I still allowed to go to this meeting? He walked up to me. He didn't even know I got released. And he's like, bro, I'm scheduled for this hour with you. I don't care if you're in the UFC or not. Like, let's go up and talk. And he's like, you're just going to feel right now. Like, and like, obviously I'm like, I got a million different thoughts going through my mind and shit, but he really helped me through that, you know, at least at that very point in time. Obviously I'm still dealing with it, but it's like, all right, cool. I could either feel sorry for myself or I could get the fuck up and fucking start moving forward.
For sure, man. For sure. And this Cage Titan 60, there really hasn't been, you know, as much info for who's fighting, who's doing what, and what weight class and stuff, just a couple videos. And, you know, when I heard you were on, I was like, damn, I got to get Don Chaynas on here right now.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Well, it's kind of short notice for me, right?
Yeah, you were saying that.
It's a pretty short notice fight. It's not like I had a ton of time to, like, hyper-focus on this one guy. It was just kind of like, hey, I think you should fight. And I'm just like, I don't know if I should fight right now. Like, I just kind of want to get back in the rhythm of training full time. Like, nah, let's get you in there. Let's get you a good matchup. Let's fucking get this ball rolling again. And like, part of me was like, nah, I should take a little bit more time. And then part of me is like, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck everything. I'm not going to fucking get anywhere sitting on my ass. Fuck you. Fuck everything. Let's do this.
And 292 is coming up. You think you eyeing that too, obviously? You know,
look, I do not believe I'm going to get on the card. But do my chances go up if I win and get another finish? And fucking there's a short notice fallout and I'm close to weight. What's there, a 3-week buffer, a 4-week buffer in between Cage site, the 22nd and 19th, a month buffer? What happens if I just stay in shape, keep my walking weight a little bit lighter? People fall out all the time. I fought Sadiq Yusuf. They wanted me to fight on 3 days' notice. I told them I wasn't going to make weight. They gave me 2 weeks. So, you know, would it be convenient if I happen to be in Boston and some other 45er falls out and some they need a replacement? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. It'd be stupid of me to fucking just chalk it like, oh, I'm not fighting UFC. I don't need to stay ready. Fuck that mentality. You know, like, people that have the ability to go on vacation and take time off, is that good for you? But no, that's not what I'm doing.
And that's the answer I like from Don Chaynas. Always straight to the point, bro. No vacations until you think it's okay.
So, dude, fucking hey, you're gonna get me going on a fucking rant here. Like, yo, I'm 32, bro. I'm 32, right? I haven't taken a vacation. I haven't done anything. Like my last vacation was my fight in Australia. You know what I mean? And I went there to work, you know? I went there to work. I didn't get stuck there, but I extended my stay because my leg was fucked up. They didn't want me flying, and then I stayed in Sydney for a little bit. But that was my last fucking vacation. I couldn't even walk. I went there to fucking work, and I stayed a few extra days. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Australia was fucking unbelievable. I'm glad I spent that extra time out there. But it's like, my purpose was to walk. I'll see the world. Dude, I just went to Vegas. People go to Vegas for a weekend. I was there for 5-6 weeks.
Hell yeah.
You know, man. So, hell like, yeah. That, to me, you got to make your vacation whatever the fuck you're doing, right? So it's like, oh, I'm going to Vegas to train. That's my vacation. Fuck it. I'm about to move to Vegas. Why the fuck not, you know? Or it's like, oh, I'm tailoring my whole life around this in this sport and getting back to that next level. And I understand that I'm never going to have the easy road. I'm not going to be one of these 5-0 undefeated guys going into the contender series at 22. No, that's not my path. My path is the fucking tough one where I start off my pro career on a fucking bullshit cut loss. Okay, I rifle off a few wins. I break my neck. I take a year off. I fucking come back. First of all, who the fuck does that? Second of all, fucking who the fuck does that? Third of all, all right, cool. Back on track. Boom, 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 boom. scheduled to fight for the belt. COVID. Fuck can I do? Now I'm getting the UFC call. Dude, my career is not going to be an easy one, and I fucking understand that, but good, because I wouldn't want it any other fucking way. Getting the fucking call, cutting 40 pounds in 2 weeks, fucking dying to make weight, fucking switching teams, coaches, and gyms, moving cross country, mid-fight camp for my last fight. Did those help me in succeeding? Absolutely not. But you know what? It is what it is, and I'm dealing with it, and the best thing I can do from here is set myself up for success and make sure when I get this opportunity the next time, I'm better set up for success.
And it definitely seems like you will do that. I always have believed in you, the way you fought and the way you show yourself, you know, like you don't ever expect to lose. Like that interview you said, the fuck you mean that you expect? I'm not going to fucking pick myself to lose. What the fuck's the matter with you?
We said, when was the
UFC, before your fight, your first one, you said, what do you expect me to come here to fucking lose?
Oh, you know what? They fucking pissed me off. Everyone was fucking writing me off. Granted, I had the worst weight cut ever. And I'm like, fuck you guys. No one even expected me to make weight. Fuck you asking me these dumbass fucking questions. And I'm like, you think I really came here to fucking lose? Fuck you. That was me telling them to fuck off.
That was great, I will admit.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, dude. Like they didn't just cut 40 pounds. So some reporter wanted to ask me a dumb question, like and have a negative tone about it. Like I was going in there, fuck you, dude. Fuck you.
And I will admit, I didn't want to see your stories when you were in Australia because the food you were putting on looked fucking delicious.
Yo, so I made a point to try every weird food I could eat. I ate kangaroo. It was fucking delicious.
It was
Yeah, dude. Like, I'm not going to lie. Everything in Australia was pretty fucking awesome. So first and foremost, I left Massachusetts in February, flew across the world. I don't think I could have flown any further from my home other than getting closer to my home. You know what I mean? If I flew any further away from where my original leave, my destination was, I would have been coming back home, if that made sense. So first and foremost, they open the plane door and the first thing you get hit is like, oh, this is what fresh air smells and feels and tastes like. You can smell and feel and taste that, right? Oh, okay. The air felt cleaner. The air just felt cleaner. And then you get off the plane and it's fucking beautiful out, like shorts and t-shirt weather. I'm coming from fucking snow. It's February.
Yep, right? Exactly.
So,
yep.
So then I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking beautiful out. And personally, I like the heat. Now, we went out there a few weeks early to acclimate time zones. Luckily, we didn't know what time zone we were fighting in. So we happened to be fighting in East Coast time. So I think my fight was like 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. in Massachusetts, somewhere around there, mm-hmm. give or take an hour. And in Australia, you're 16 hours ahead. So what we were doing was we were waking up at 2 a.m. But waking up at 2 a.m. is like sleeping until like 9, 10 o'clock here. So,
oh, man.
So the whole time I'm there, I'm like, fuck yeah. Kobe Bryant talked about waking up at 2 a.m., working out at 3 to 4. That's exactly what I did. I worked out. I woke up at 2 a.m., worked out from 3 to 4, hit mitts for an hour. Cool. Did 10 rounds with my coach. You know what? From 3 to 4, worked out. Then guess what? We went back up to the room, showered. At that time, it's around 5 a.m. It's still dark outside. Walking down the street, it's fucking ghost town. It's like the zombie apocalypse happened. Like the city isn't alive yet. It's not like New York or Boston. City's not fucking alive yet. So we're walking in the middle of the street, going to a coffee shop. It's fucking 80 degrees at night, right? Well, we get to a coffee shop, 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock, around there. Cool. Come back, have lunch, okay? At 7 a.m., I go to the gym. The gym's open up at like 6:37. I go to the gym for 7 a.m., do my cardio for an hour. Cool, right? Come back, chill, eat dinner, go to bed. Rinse and repeat. Or maybe I get a second cardio session in a day. I think I was doing two cardio sessions in a day just because I had time. But like to go back to what I was thinking about Kobe Bryant, like Kobe Bryant would talk about waking up at 2 and running pretty much that same schedule. And I'm just thinking in my mind, like Kobe Bryant, he was one of the greatest basketball players of all time. The only difference is like he lived in Italy for a little bit, right? Like a lot of people don't know he lived and played basketball in as a kid in Italy.
I did not know that.
So you think about time zones, right? He talks about waking up at 2 a.m. and running the same schedule I did. I'm like, motherfucker was the greatest of all time just because he stayed in a different time zone and was disciplined while everyone else in the world was on a normal time zone.
Right.
That's how he became probably the greatest basketball player ever. And I'm like, oh my God, this just makes so much sense. I don't have to live by the fucking social norms of fucking working a 9-to-5, waking up at a certain time, finishing work at a certain time, being in a designated spot from a certain time or completing a task at a certain time. Like, I don't have to do that. I can do literally whatever the fuck I want on my time, but I don't have to follow these social norms that majority of the population falls into.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you talk about Kobe Bryant. I saw something this morning with Allen Iverson, who said Kobe Bryant wasn't one to fucking party, go to the clubs and all that bullshit. During the season, when we were in the clubs partying, he was in the gym fucking shooting around and doing all that shit. So it's funny you said Kobe Bryant, because he's right. Allen Iverson, another great basketball player.
Think about it like this too, right? It's like, all right, let's say you wake up at 2 a.m. Okay. Guess what the rest of the world is doing at 2 a.m. on a Friday, Saturday night?
Just they're coming off bullshit. A hangover.
They're partying. They're fucking drinking. They're doing drugs. They're doing whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say the bar is closed at 2. Cool. You're getting kicked out at 2. Takes you an hour to get home. It's 3. You might be up for another half an hour. Decompress. You're going to bed at 4 or 5 a.m. He's waking up at 2, working out at 3, 3 to 4. And then he can chill. He got his first workout in while you're fucking bullshitting. And then think about it like this too. It's like, all right, how many days in a year? 365.
365.
You work out 3 times a week. That's what? 152 times a year, or 150, whatever. 150 plus, 150-ish times a year, right? You've improved. Now, if you work out once a day, right, that's just going from 3 days a week to 7 days a week. You go to once a day, that's 365 days. You've more than doubled your work output. Mm-hmm. Varying, the intensity stays the same. But now it's like, all right, cool. Like, let's break this up into eight-hour sessions, right? So it's like 8 hours, you got to work out for an hour or hour and a half. Okay. 8 hours later, work out again. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you got to sleep for 8 hours. So you really got like 2 shifts, right? You got your AM shift and you got your PM shift. You work out once during your AM shift, work out once during your PM shift. You just took 365, multiply that by 2.
Absolutely.
That's 730 fucking times you got better in 1 year versus, like, granted, like, not getting injured and not having to take time off, that's its own shit.
Yeah, that's a different thing, yeah.
But, like, that's 730 fucking times that you got better over fucking someone that's working out once a day versus twice a day, right? So, compared to someone that's working out 3 times a week to twice a day. Think about it like this, too. Right. If you're working out twice a day versus someone that works out 3 times a week, in 2 fucking days, you've worked out more than the person that's worked out 3 times a week.
Yes. Yes, you have.
You've already worked out more.
Yep.
If the intensity and the focus is the same, like, let's keep that a constant, because obviously it's going to vary day to day, but the trend is always going to go up.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And, you know, you're multiplying it by 2, 365, and you're literally just working your ass off for 2 parts of your day. What's 2 parts of your day that you're, you know, where you can make yourself double of what you are, make you stronger than what you are?
Yeah, Exactly. Especially if this is your fucking job. Like, there's points of time in fight camp I'm working out three times a day. And that's not to add numbers to the amount of times I've worked out in the day or the number of total minutes I've worked out in a year, right? But like, all right, let's say I'm hyper-focusing for an hour and a half in the morning. I'm hyper-focusing for an hour and change at night. And then I go do some fucking cardio to get ahead of the guys that are only hyper-focusing those 2 days. You're going to pull ahead of the herd. It's right. All about pulling ahead of the herd, especially in this fucking sport. This sport, you get fucking hurt if you don't.
Exactly. Exactly. And you guys, hey, I've never said, from the fighters I've seen, I haven't really seen a lazy one yet.
I've seen plenty. But maybe my version of lazy.
Yeah, my version of lazy. Yeah, exactly.
Like I've seen plenty. I've seen plenty of guys cut corners. I've seen plenty of people fuck it up and do it wrong and get to the next level far before I did. And I've seen that. I'm like, I could literally do exactly what you did and not make these mistakes A, B, and C. I've seen it. I've seen it all. I've seen guys get there, fuck it all up. I've seen guys lose fights that I've lost fights where I felt I was a better fighter. Perfect example. My last fight, I felt like I was the better fighter and I lost a game.
I thought you had a great fight, and I told you, man, them fucking, you guys were kicking the shit out of each other's knees, and I was like, holy God, man, like, Don Shanus has fucking titanium knees, for fuck's sake.
It was not so much the knee, it was just a little bit lower, it was a calf kick. Calf kicks are brutal. You fuck someone's life up with a calf kick, I'll tell you that.
I heard the, oh man, I heard it, and I was like, God damn, like, shit. I don't know, man. It's a hard just to see the TV part of it and hear it. And I'm sure you being the person who's getting it is like, like, God damn, bro. I was like, I feel for you right now, bro.
dude, that was fun. That was fun. Definitely a measuring of the dicks. Leg kick. It's like, I can do that too, bud.
So, for this one,
I'll say it was dope though, man. Fucking yeah, 15,000 people in that arena. You hear a pin drop anytime I did anything. The fucking place went crazy when Jack went. It's nice to have the people cheering for me this time around in New England, but you know, outside of New England, people don't give a fuck.
But I liked how they weren't like fucking like chopping your head off type of deal. Like they respected you as a fighter, the Australian crowd when you were there.
No, they didn't. I got called a faggot 1,000 times.
Oh, well, I wasn't in section 202.
Dude, the amount of fucking, like, fucked up shit people have said to me. Like, don't get me wrong. I fucking loved every second of it. But, dude, I got called all sorts of names. I got called fucking racial names. I got people chirping me online. Dude, it was the fucking best.
That's only your style for people to fucking call you crazy shit, man.
dude, like, things in Australia are not like things in America, right? They don't give a fuck out there, right? You can't say certain fucking things here. They didn't give a fuck. They fucking hit me with every derogatory term you could be hit with. It was awesome.
But I'm sure you were laughing your ass off at the same time.
Oh, dude, I found it so funny. I made a thing on Instagram, and it's called Haterade. And it's just people talking shit to me from Twitter. I would repost, like, or someone said something. So anything that I didn't find positive, I just reposted and posted it to Haterade, and I thought it was so fucking funny reading some of these comments.
That's excellent, man.
I made it a highlight. Like, anyone could go to my Instagram right now, fucking click Haterade, and read some of the dumb shit people were saying.
That's hysterical. Oh, my God.
And that's just on Instagram. Like, the things people were telling me in person, oh, my God. Dude, it was bad.
Jesus Christ. So the task at hand, Don, is Cage Titan 60 right now. So I know you got this fight now. You're on a couple weeks notice. And is there any, like, things you want to improve on for this one?
I want to improve on my ability to have fun in there. You know, I want to be able to be creative again, rather than like, all right, this is what I'm doing. I feel like my last fight, I was like kind of in flow, but not completely in flow. I was in and out of flow. I just want to be able to flow, man. I want to have fun and flow. I want to be loose. I want to be relaxed. I want to be efficient, smart, technical. I want to show who I am again, you know?
And is it too short to be making shirts for you this time around?
It is very quick. I'm in the process right now of redoing my sponsors, and I want to give my sponsors a big plug.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I completely revamped the structure on how I'm doing sponsorships. So the people that I have locked in at the moment are fucking unbelievable. They're going to be sponsoring me for the full year. And I'm going to give them a shout out right now. Miss Fox, she's my tattoo artist. She's fucking dope. She does a ton of black and gray work. So if you or anyone you know you're interested, go to my Instagram. She's under sponsors. It's Miss Fox Tattoo. I want to give a shout out to Davencorp, a longtime sponsor of mine. They're locked in for the year, as well as my buddy Jake Mose. He owns East Coast Power Washing, based out of Plymouth. He's been a long time sponsor of me again. And Two Fight Bros. You know the Two Fight Bros?
I do know the Two Fight Bros.
Yeah, they've jumped on the Shameless train. They're going to be sponsoring me for the full year. So I want to give them a huge shout out as well.
Excellent. And we looking for you at Main Street after the fight?
I always pop into Main Street. I usually head to Tavern on the Wharf, and then I disappear into the night.
Yes, and the guy at the bar is the shit. The tall big dude that's there.
Which one?
What's his
big
name?
Beard?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Oh, that's my homie Alex. Yeah,
he always be saying, he's like, oh, I know you. Yeah, like you're the dude that does the stuff at Cage Sites. I'm like, yeah. I was like, yeah, you're the guy who is cool with Don Shadis. He's like,
I used to work at Main Street. So
no, I know.
So I'm like, all the people that still work there is like my family, you know, like I'm like part of their fucking thing. Dude, what they got going on over there is fucking awesome. From the coworkers to the employees, everything's awesome. Love that place.
Oh, that food's bomb.
And they've been a big sponsor of me in the past. I need to talk to Phil about if he wants to continue and jump on and if he's interested in doing what I'm doing. I just haven't had that conversation yet, but you know, they're a fucking awesome place.
Awesome, man. So, dude, Don, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so happy you joined the show. And, bro, you know I follow your career like a motherfucker, man. So, much respect to you, bro.
Matty C, thank you so much for having me on, and I just appreciate having this conversation with you, having another platform to shoot my shit with and talk business, you know?
Absolutely, man. And I hope I'm better than those fucking announcers who were giving you shit at your first interview.
Oh, they didn't know who I was. Like, I'm actually cool with some of the people that do some of the podcasts and interviews. I'm cool with like a couple people. Like, I'm cool with this dude Alex, and this guy doesn't do it Alex does it for the UFC, but I'm cool with Mom's Basement. He likes more regional promotions. I'm cool with him too. He's the man. But Matty C's Mom's up Basement, there too.
Is Mom's Basement affiliated with Connor Matthews too?
No, dude. It's so funny. Oh, you say so that, it's right? It's so funny you say that. So Mom's Basement was a podcast I did. I like hit it off with the dude, and he's super fucking cool. I do Mom's Basement. Tyler moves and creates a gym in his mom's basement, starts calling Mom's Basement. So I'm in Missouri, and Connor's telling me about Mom's Basement. I'm like, dude, I got to connect the dots here. I got to connect the dots. So now Connor's always wearing Mom's Basement shirt. Like, I don't know if he's done a podcast with him, but be sure to check out Mom's Basement too. I just did a podcast. No, I didn't do a podcast. I might do a I talked to him the other day. I talked to him the other day. He told me some inside information. I'm like, all right, cool. Thank you. Like, me and him are cool. I like him a lot.
Excellent, man. Now I know the true story of the connection of Mom's Basement.
All right, well, don't put it all on me. They've definitely talked to each other without me, but I'm like, dude, you got to get my guy Connor on. Connor's a man.
He is good shit.
He has his own mom's basement. So now Connor, I seen in a mom's basement rash guard.
Yeah, I see him with Valdina. And who else is in there? I think everybody from friggin' Cartel goes there too, I think.
The mom's basement? No. Yesterday, I will drop some names. I did not see Valdina yesterday, but I know he goes up there. But yesterday I went. There was Connor, a couple guys from Nostos. But some names you'll probably recognize is Aaron Hughes, Mitch Raposo, myself, yes. Connor.
Yeah.
So you'll know those guys.
Or Joe Poirier, I think, goes there too.
Oh, Joe Poirier actually came in after we trained and hit some mitts with Pete Luciani.
Pete's a good dude, too.
I like Pete a lot. Fucking good. Crazy motherfucker, though. He's crazy, and I love it. I love it. Dude, we were like not talking shit to each other, but we're talking about football. Dude, a couple weeks ago, it was actually wicked funny. We're talking about football, and we're talking about the drill where you both lie on your back, and you get up, and then you tackle each other. It's called an Oklahoma. And for some reason, we were talking about that. And then we didn't get into an argument, but we got into a heated discussion about something. So I found like a little foam ball, and we started doing Oklahomas with each other in Connor's basement. It was fucking awesome.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God, man.
Like, as fucking 30-plus-year-old adults.
Yo, you got to do that young shit, too, man. And then somebody gets hit in the nose, fuck it. We took that shit back in the day.
Yeah, no, we didn't have any pads. I had, like, this little, like... little kid foam fucking like little dodgeball for like little kids that like that you could hum but they don't hurt. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we don't have it like dodgeballs where like, yeah, it was 5 feet away, but you broke your nose. But I never got my nose broken. I was doing backflips and shit. Nah, I'm just kidding.
No, it was just so fun. Me and Pete Luciani going back to back in fucking Oklahoma's without pads on.
Wouldn't expect anything less from you, Don, man.
Gotta make it fun.
But enjoy your day, man, and we'll post this real, real soon, man.
Heck yeah, we got almost an hour in.
Yep.
We did. Got almost an hour in, fuck yeah.
Of course, because I have interesting conversation with my homie, man.
Hey, dude, I didn't even feel like this was a podcast. I feel like this was just you and me shooting the shit.
It essentially just is. I just got to edit it. That's all.
Nah, dude, fucking throw it up like this. Fuck it. Long format.
All right, man. Sounds good. Well,
nah, do whatever you want. Do your thing.
All right, man. Well, I will talk to you soon. And this is Matty C. This is Don Shanus. Check him out. Oh, yeah. One thing, your social media where everybody can follow you.
Oh, Shameless Don. Fuck yeah. Shameless Don. Shameless Don everything. Shameless Don, Snapchat, Instagram, fucking YouTube. I don't even know if I have a YouTube, but Shameless Don. Done.
All right, man. And this is Matty C Sports, and good night, Sadie. Thank you.
Thanks for watching Matty C Sports for You and Me. Make sure to follow Matty C on MattCameron23 on Twitter, MattyC23 on Instagram, and subscribe to Matty C Sports for You and Me on YouTube.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow, with lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One pun, I'm an animal, then I'm a cannibal, taking my pick and I pounce. Bold and serious, cold amphibious track murderer. A cup I need by no one, so I got my back. Vertebra, the heat is up, extinguisher. I got the track burning up. Don't think to touch, 6 feet's enough to get the match to combust. Diamond, strike it, ignite on any given surface, silent, callous, symbols that come.